Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the AfridaLoveShow.com, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host tonight, Dr. Alfreda Love, and this is the day, the night that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I want to thank God, my family and my friends and all of my newcomers and all of my connections, my ministers, those who are coming into the ministry. Praise God. I want to welcome all of you to the AfridaLoveShow.com. And as I said before, we're getting ready to set up our website. But in the meantime, I have a very special ministry show planned for you on tonight. Of course, we're going to follow protocol and procedures, and we're going to have, we've already had our welcome. We're going to read Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. We're going to pray unto God. We're going to listen to praise and worship. And then we're going to talk about prayer. Many times when I come on the ministry, you'll hear me praying, and I'll say, today is our prayer day. And one of the things that God reminded me is, he says, you have to understand and you have to begin to illustrate the foundation of prayer. How do you pray? Because individuals can hear the word of God. You can plant the seed, and the seed can begin to grow. But what happens after the growth of the seed has to continue to grow. So therefore, Jesus shows me a picture, and he says, it's kind of like you have to illustrate how Jesus taught his disciples. He says, I taught them to be fishermen of men. I taught them how to fish, and therefore they was able to fish for a lifetime. And so when we're teaching and when we're giving the word of God, we have to teach people as well as modeling how to pray. And so on tonight, the whole focus is we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. And actually, this was a prayer that we prayed every night before we went to bed when I was a child. And I still pray this prayer, but this prayer is in the Bible. And I'm going to share it with you, and I'm going to tell you the implications or tell you what it means. And you already know what it means, some of you. But we're going to talk about teaching youth, teaching the young how to pray, as well as this is a prayer for any age group. And so we need to get a prayer through to God. When we need to get a prayer through to God, we have to, there's some things that we have to do, and there are some places that we have to be in order to be connected with God. So I want to go ahead and read Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. And it reads, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. I have read to you Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word is my prayer. Amen, amen. We're going to pray unto God. And, you know, as I said before, usually I'll come on and I'll pray. But as I said before, the Lord said that we must talk about prayer, and we must minister about prayer and teach about prayer, because the prayer of the righteous avails much. But with the prayer of the righteous avails much, we have to model, because we have young people on. We have people who are thinking about coming to Christ, and they want to know, how do I get a prayer through? I'm going through the storm of life. What should I do? And so I'm going to, every other Wednesday, we're going to have a teaching of how to pray and how our heart should be when we pray and how we should go to God and things of that nature. But let's go ahead and let's pray unto God, and then I'm going to come with Pastor Benny Hinn's praise and worship song. Then after that, we'll go into the Word of God, and then we're going to hear from Sanak. She's a Nigerian singer, waymaker, and then I'll give you some announcements and bid you a great morning. Okay? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for blessing us as we were able to wake up this morning. We thank you for starting us on our way. We thank you for giving us a reasonable portion of our health and strength. We have come into this house gathered in your name just to worship you, Lord. It's not about us. It's not about anything that's happened, but it's all about you. We ask that our eyes continue to be focused on you. We ask that our ears continue to hear your revelation and your prophecy and your teachings. We ask, Heavenly Father, will we continue to walk into righteousness' sake. And then, Lord, we ask that you bless the words and the meditation of my spirit to be acceptable within your sight, where the word of God, the teaching of God, will fall on everyone's ear who's listening so that we can become better people. I ask that you continue to bless us to be lights in this world. Help us, Heavenly Father, to do unto others as they would have do unto us, Heavenly Father. We ask, Heavenly Father, would you bless us to have unconditional love in our hearts, forgiveness. Would you bless us, Lord Jesus, to continue to excel and continue to do the work for the kingdom of God. We ask, would you bless everything that we put our minds to and our hearts to. Would you bless it to prosper. Would you bless our conventions that are coming up. Would you bless our meetings that are coming up. Would you bless just each person, Lord, that we encounter on a daily basis? Help us. Teach us how to treat people right. Teach us how to forgive people. Teach us how to empower people. Teach us how to encourage people. Teach us how to speak life to people, Lord. And, Lord, we ask, Lord Jesus, would you bless us every time we get up to be thankful and to be grateful throughout the day? Lord Jesus, we ask in the name of Jesus, would you take the spirit of complaining and moaning and groaning and crying and all that, would you take that out and put the spirit of joy, happiness, and love and peace and kindness within our hearts, Lord? We ask for a whole transformation, Lord, and anything that's not of you, we ask that it would be removed right now. Anything on our minds, we ask that you bless each person, would you bless their offspring. Would you bless their grandchildren? Would you bless their families in a major way? Because you know what every person needs. And because of that, we know that you are able to do everything but fail. We trust you and we believe in you, Lord. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe that you can change situations. We believe that you can open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing where we won't have enough room to receive. We believe that you can open doors. We believe in you. We believe that you can remove pain. We believe that you can cure individuals. We believe in the power of prayer. And we ask with the dissemination of your word continue to go forth and fall on the grounds that we walk on. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you continue to bless this ministry to go forth. Lord Jesus, you know the path that you have set for me personally, and I ask, Heavenly Father, would you bless me to walk in that path exceedingly well. I thank you, Lord, for the open doors. I thank you for the platforms. I thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done, and I can't thank you enough. And on tonight, I submit to anyone who is not connected to God to become connected because he never fails. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the good days. I thank you for the not-so-good days. Lord, I thank you for the storms. I thank you for the sunshine. And I'm asking, would you bless each person who is on this line, would you bless them in a mighty way, Lord. And now, Lord, as you teach us how to pray, and as you show us your heart and show us what type of heart we should have and show us, Heavenly Father, how to love unconditionally and show us how to come unto you, we ask that you continue to help us and answer our prayers and hear our prayers, Lord. And, Lord, we believe and trust in you, Lord, and we know that with you all things are possible. And we ask for those impossible things to become possible, Lord. There's somebody who want to open a franchise. There's someone, Heavenly Father, who you're getting ready to bless immensely because they can speak well. There's someone, Lord, that you want to bless them in their careers. And we ask in the name of Jesus, would you set the atmosphere, set the environment where every person can receive what you have for them. And if there is anything hindering, we ask that you remove it, Lord. If there is a word that needs to be spoken, we ask in the name of Jesus, would you bless me to speak that word, Lord? If there is any broken hearts, Lord Jesus, would you bless those hearts to be mended? If there is any waywardness of the mind, we ask that our minds be renewed and be in Christ Jesus. Lord, we ask for forgiveness, Lord, for anything, Lord, that displeased you. We ask, Heavenly Father, would you help us to continue to be empowered, stay encouraged, and put us around people who want to see us do well. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you bless us to walk in boldness and confidence? Would you keep our ears open to the word of God and our eyes looking up to the hills? And would you bless us to be able to bring in souls so that we all can be saved? As you show us Noah, and as you show how he was saved because he obeyed you, we ask in the name of Jesus, would you bless us to obey you and your word and whatever you have for us, Lord? We ask that you bless us and give us the energy and the tenacity and the motivation to do a great job at it. Now, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the yeses. We thank you for the blessings, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the breakthroughs. We thank you for the windows that are open where we won't have enough room to receive. We thank you for the doors, Lord. And we thank you for keeping our youth protected, our youth, Lord. We're praying for them. We're praying for any situation, Lord, because you know, you are all-knowing God. And we just pray over each person. We pray over their siblings. We pray over their children. We pray over their grandchildren. We pray over their aunties and uncles. We just pray over everybody. And we ask in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that you grant each prayer, Lord. There are so many people on this line, and we ask that you grant their prayers, whatever it is, Lord. We thank you and we bless you. This is one of your servants' prayers. In Jesus' name, we pray. We pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to listen to Pastor Benny Hinn. Amen. We have come into this house. And I tell you what, I want you to get involved in praise and worship, because I don't get on this radio station just to get on here and make a show, make a ministry. I get on here because this ministry helps me, and it helps other individuals as well. And so you might as well sing. If you can't sing, that's okay. I'm not giving any record deals, and I don't think God is concerned if you can sing or not. But my Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And so if you want to sing, all right, then you can sing. The only person that will be recorded is me, because, of course, this is the studio. I'm on air. But as far as you, you're in your home, you're in your car, you wherever you are in your secret place. So it's not about a record deal. It's not about trying to impress people. It's about trying to impress God, because we're all trying to make heaven our home, and we want to make sure that we're doing the work of God, and we want to make sure that in our doings, that we're not doing this in vain and it's not void. This is not for any shape, form, or fashion. Amen. This is for the Heavenly Father. We're singing to God. So pretend like, or yeah, we're not pretending. We're going to really sing, and we're singing to God. We're not trying to sing or make a record deal. Amen. We have artists who do that. God didn't call me to sing. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So we're going to listen to Pastor Benny Hinn. We have come into this house, and remember, we have come into this house and gathered in his name for one reason, and that's to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are listening to the AfridaLoveShow.com, StellarGospelMusic.com, where Jesus shines with love.
We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house, gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. We have come into this house. Gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house. Gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house. Gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. That was, we have come into this house. What house? God's house. Gathered in His name. Whose name? God's name. To do what? Worship Him. So what? Forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and just worship, worship, worship Him. Amen? Amen. I want you to get out a sheet of paper. As I said before, for the newcomers, I want to welcome you. We're going to talk about prayer. And we're going to, first of all, talk about how to come to God in prayer. A lot of people, while you get your paper and pencil out, pen, many individuals think that we can just come to God any kind of way. God is supposed to respond right on the spot. But before we can come unto God and bring all of our burdens, a lot of us, and I've told you this once before, take all of your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. But even when you take your burdens to the Lord, there is a way that you go to the Lord. And I want to talk first of all about the heart. We'll focus on the mind because a lot of things happen in the mind, the synopsis and the thinking and all of that great, those great things happen in the mind. But when we talk about the spirit, amen, when we talk about the spirit of God, we're talking about the heart. And so when we talk about the heart, we're talking about a vital organ, but we're also talking about what God looks at. God is not looking. I want you to write heart. Matter of fact, draw a heart and put heart in the middle, H-E-A-R-T. God is not looking on the outside. He's not looking at your clothes,
He's not looking at your degrees. He's not looking at what your mishaps are. He's not looking at your strengths. He's not looking at anything but the inside of your heart. And so I want to pose this question before we get to the Lord's Prayer. When we talk about the heart, okay, spiritually, right, that's what God focuses on. He says, I look at the inside of your heart. I've said this before, and I want to be real clear with this. When we talk about Jesus and we talk about the heart, okay? When we look at 1 Samuel 16 and 7, the Bible says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." I want to read that again. "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." We can go to God with any desire that we have, with any difficulty that we have, with any burden that we're holding, we can go to God. But as Pastor Joyce Meyer said, Dr. Joyce Meyer said, what is your motive for going to God? And of course, many people would answer, my motive is to be blessed. My motive is to get out of my storm. My motive is to change the situation. My motive is to get ahead. That is my motive. And those all sound good. All of those answers sound good. But when we look at the aspect of the heart, right, God is not talking about what is the motive of the person's heart, because we know your motive for going to God is that you want to restore yourself. You want to be renewed. You want to gain strength. You want to get out of the situation that you're in. But God talks about us. And when I say us, we're looking on the outside. We're looking on the outside of a person. And when things happen, when there's a mishap, when someone accidentally drops the ball, or they drop the ball, or when something happens in a person's life, a storm, or if they go through a situation or a crisis or anything of that nature, we have a tendency, and let's just be real, we have a tendency to begin talking and judging. And we can continue to say this because God continues to put it on my heart. We have a tendency to talk and judge, and we feel like that we know everything. And I say we, that's everybody, right? And we feel like we know that situation. We feel like we know what happened. We feel like we know everything about it, and we don't. Because the question, once again, is was we there? When we talk about the crucifixion of God, you know, we wasn't there. The scribes painted a picture about what happened, but we wasn't there. And so what God is saying is you don't know what's in a person's heart. You don't know what a person is going through. You don't know a situation if you wasn't there. You don't know. And so God says your judgment, your words is null and void. He says you're wasting time. We continue to go back to this crop. He says we're wasting time by trying to be God. That's what God says. He says whatever they have fallen short of, God says I'm going to take care of that because that's my child. But your job in the meantime is to make sure that you are living right, to make sure that your kids are right, to make sure that your spouse is right, to make sure that your kids are brought up with a role model, to make sure that your house is in order. He says, but I don't think like people. He says, I don't look on the outside. People look at the outward appearance. He says, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so we wonder about people. We wonder about the favor of God. God says, because I'm not looking at the outside. I know that person's heart. I know who they are. And for us, our job is not to judge, because we can be. Our job is not to look on the outside and say, wow, woe is you. Well, woe is you too, because there's some things you've done as well. And so we have to look on the inside. And when we look on the inside, right, we're looking at people's deeds. We're looking at their actions. We're looking at the inside of their hearts, right? And if we will begin to think positive on the inside, then we wouldn't be so, in other words, so quick to judge somebody else. Because God says that I'm not looking at your $1,000 shoes. I'm not looking at your new hairdo. I'm not looking at your new clothes. I'm not looking at your makeup, your eyelashes, your eyebrows. I'm not looking at all that. He says, I'm looking at your heart. That's how you make it into the kingdom of God. I'm looking at your heart. And when we do things out of our heart in spite, or we do things to try to hurt someone else, or we do things to try to make someone else look bad, or we do things to try to make ourselves look good, God says that's just, he says it's null and void. He says because your motive is not right. God wants us to have, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, but God also says that our heart should be pure. That means that the things that we, that are inside of our heart should emulate that of God. And so when we try to do things to hurt other people within our heart, whether it's words, whatever it is, God says it will never fly, because it's not from the, it's from the heart, but it's not of God. And so it's very important. God says it doesn't matter. I'm talking to you ministers. I'm talking to you individuals with gifts. I'm talking to you those who feel like giving up. God says it doesn't matter what they say, whoever they are. We have no idea. It doesn't matter what they do, whoever they are. Once again, God says, I decide everything concerning your life. I decide. He says, I am Alpha and Omega. And so you don't decide. People don't decide. God decides. And guess what? God always has people working for him, always. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter about anything. There's always somebody, one person at least, who has the eyes of God. God's going to make sure of that. In any dealings with his people, he's going to make sure that he's represented, period. And so when we look at people, if you have an ought against somebody, right, if you're mad at somebody, let it go. Because God is looking at your heart. You're missing out on your blessings. You're too busy. God continues to say this. You're too busy worried about everybody else's business, their harvest, what's going on, what's happening. Worry about, and then your stuff is going, your stuff is lacking. And we talk about that. We're talking about anything associated with you. Your stuff is going lacking because you're too busy worried, once again, about the Joneses and the Smiths. And the Joneses and the Smiths are doing just fine. Worry about your heart. Worry about your offsprings, your spouse, your family, your things. Because by you leaving your harvest, abandoning your harvest to gossip, to hate on somebody, to hope somebody fails, to think that you are the judge and jury over somebody's life and you can't even take care of your own life, then your stuff is going lagging. So therefore, it's very important that our heart is right when we look at people. It's very important. Because we're not perfect either, by no means. Okay? So as God says, when you come to me, right, God says, I'm looking at your heart. Did you forgive? Are you forgiving individuals? You're bringing your burdens to me, but are you forgiving individuals? Are you thinking well of individuals? Are you trying to help them succeed, or are you trying to see them fall? Are you trying to set them up? I got you. That's not of God. That's of Satan. That's a hater. That's somebody who wants to see you fall. That's jealousy. That's envy. That's anger. Because you want to see somebody fall. And then you want to bring your burdens to God and expect for God to make everything all right. It's not going to happen because your heart is not right. Your motive is not right. And then we want to put on a facade. Then we want to pretend. And by doing all that, God knows our heart already. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. He knows all that. And so the faking and shaking is not going to work either. Be genuine and be real. And so when we talk about the heart, we have to make sure on a daily basis, every person we encounter, we need to set them up for success. We need to make sure that we're leading them in the right direction. We need to make sure that we're looking for the best solution to their situation that's going to help them to advance. Anything contrary to that is not of God, and you will not be blessed, says the Lord. Anything contrary, whether it's gossip, whether it's lying, whether it's being in somebody's business, that includes me, whatever it is, God says you will not be blessed. Because you don't have to dig ditches. You don't have to be in the situation, but just talking, your words, your mouth, just talking, you have blocked your blessing. And not only have you blocked yours, but now you're blocking everybody who's attached to you. God says it's just like a blood flow. If you get a blood clot, your blood's not going anywhere. So now you've not only blocked your blessing, but now you're blocking your offsprings and everybody associated with you because of the motivation, the motive that you have in your heart. And God says, I'm not looking on the outside. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory. And God says, I will deal with that. You're not the judge. You're not the jury. God says, I'm going to deal with that. Your job is to find out what's the best situation I could put this person in so that they can get on their feet and move forward. And I pray to God, because God's getting ready to put me on platforms all over the world. Yeah, you heard it right. And I don't want to be that person, because I'm going to deal with many people, and I continue to say this. I don't want to be that person that tries to say, aha, I got you. Because we've all seen it, we've all fallen short of God's glory. And I don't want to be that person who try to plot and try to dig ditches for people. I want to be that person to set that person up for the best situation possible. Always look for the good in every situation. I don't care how bad it is. You look for the good because there is some good. But at the same time, I pray to God. I never want to be a hindrance to anybody. I never want to be that person to try to dig a ditch or to try to set somebody up for failure, because you're not going to be blessed. Matter of fact, you're going to lose more than the energy you put in for your motivation or your motive, whatever it is. But the good thing about it is that, as I told y'all before, the good thing about it is that people don't get to decide about your life. Only God does. That's the good thing about it. And the good thing about it is that we serve a God who's all-powerful, and he looks at the heart. He said, yeah, here's your sin, here's your sin, here's your sin, here's your sin. I see all these sins, but I'm looking at your heart. I went to the cross for your sin. I don't expect for you to perform those sins again. I don't expect for that. But I've already paid the price. Little birdie, you're free. I've already paid the price. But I don't expect for you to do the same thing over and over again, period. Line us all up, every single person on this earth. Not one is pure. So when we look at the heart, God says, when you bring your burdens, he says, people are coming, ministers. People are coming to your church. They're coming with so much on their mind. They're coming. Some of them are broken. Some of them, they're coming. They're just coming. And our job is not to sit up there and to judge them. Our job is not to say, oh, you sinned and you've fallen short, because we all have. You might have didn't sin the same day they did, but you've sinned before. And so it's very important. God says, I look at the heart. And what I'm illustrating to you, love listeners, is God says you always look at a person's heart. Lying, hating on somebody, wanting to see somebody fail, and your harvest is dying. Your crew, your stack is going haywire, and you're sitting up here worried about God's business. Because God, trust me, God's going to deal with whatever it is. God's going to deal with it. But as a person, as a human, our job is to pray for people and mind our own business. Because trust me, there's a lot of things that we need to be fixing in our own lives, starting with ourselves. It's an everyday job. Every day I'm trying to get better. Every day I'm trying to fix things in my life to get better, keeping my mind busy, keeping my heart right, reading my Bible, studying the Word of God, dealing with people and being careful how I deal with people, making sure that I'm setting people up for success, making sure that I'm not hindering anybody or disencouraging somebody from following their dream. So it's very important, the heart. God says it doesn't matter. I told some of you once before, you're too busy worried about what people are saying. You're too busy in your feelings. You're too busy wondering about what people are doing, and that's not for you to worry about. Your thinking should be focused on your harvest, praying for folks, and making sure that your household is decent and in order. It's for souls. Making sure that your family is going to be saved. Making sure that everything is right, dress right, dress, with siblings, offsprings, everybody. Making sure that you have forgiven individuals. We don't have time. Our job is not to judge people. That's not our job. You know, that is not our job. We're worried about everybody else's sins, and we neglect our own. And that's why the world is so haywire, because everybody's not attending to their own. They won't attend to everybody else's. Okay? And once again, it doesn't mean don't be concerned. How you doing? Is there anything I can do to help you? And there's difference between just being nosy and wanting people to fail, wanting to see people be unsuccessful. And you have, it won't affect you either way, except just the joy of seeing somebody fail. That doesn't make any sense. Because everybody's going to have a day, and you're going to want somebody to pray for you. You're going to want somebody to look out for you. You're going to want your kids to be successful. You're going to want to be successful. And so I find myself on a daily basis, I stay out of all that, because I'm trying to keep up with myself as well. I pray for individuals. And every person I encounter, I look for the good, and I try to set them up for success. You always look for the good in each and every person. There's good, and I don't care how or what. It's always some good in every single person on this earth, always. And don't let anybody discourage you, tell you differently. The only person that, or the only being that can speak over your life, and I continue to say this, is God. He's the only perfect one. And so whatever it is, whatever storm you're going through, your family, your kids, whoever, you pray for them. Don't worry about the outside world. The world is going to talk. That's their job. We talked about it. That's their job. And while they're talking, you just keep working. You just keep doing what the Lord has asked you to do, and watch your harvest grow. How do you know? And I said this before, and I heard it tonight at church. I said it before. You will know by the harvest. You will know. people to talk all the time. And I tell you this, I get so many inboxes from some of the love listeners, people that talk all the time. You know, their harvest, the harvest is plentiful, the labor is few. They're not even working their own harvest, you know. And so by you engaging in a conversation because you're upset, and I say this again because I have some newcomers, you're upset, somebody said something, somebody did something, somebody knows your business, somebody's talking. Now, they do it all day, 24/7. It's just about you, 24/7. I mean, you're missing out on the blessing of God. What do you get out of entertaining stupidity? What do you get out of it? Absolutely nothing. What do you get out of working your harvest? A lot. Abundance. And so, and the people, once again, who's talking, worried, whatever, you know, making their own declarations and being the judge and jury and the verdict and all that crap, let them do it. Because when you look at them and their harvest, when you look at everything, every aspect of their lives, there's something that needs to be fixed. Something. And so I don't understand why get uptight, why get angry, why get mad, because somebody is talking something they have absolutely no idea of. They don't know. Why? That doesn't make sense. It's a waste of time. You could be working on your million-dollar industry. You could be working on your franchise. You could be working on your literacy program. You could be working on your ministry degree. You could be working on your literacy degree. You could be working on a book. You could be working on your ministry. You could be working on your singing deals. You could be working on your gigs. You could be talking to event planners. You could be doing your lesson plans for class. Oh, you could be with your children. You could be encouraging them to do the right thing, to live right. You could be reading a Bible to your grandkids. We could be doing a lot of things, attending to our spouse. We could be doing a lot of things, right? But gossiping and worried about the Joneses and the Smiths and all these people, you know, it doesn't make any sense because they're doing okay. All right? So when we look at it, God is only looking at the heart. He's looking at your heart. And you're going to have to let that stuff go. If you feel like somebody knows your business, so what? So what? Because they have some business too. So what? You just happen to be somebody who's on their mind 24/7, I guess. I don't know. But let it go. People, they're human. That's human nature. People, that's how it is. But look at their harvest. Look at their flock. Look at everything that's attached to them. And that's your answer right there. Should you be worried or should you not? Because usually people who are always out of their harvest, God calls them out of the ark of safety. People who always know everything about you more than they know about themselves. Their harvest. Their harvest is not thriving at all, period. Because they're too busy. They're not working their harvest. They're too busy working yours. And when I say working yours, they're too busy into your business that they can't tend to theirs. So guess what? God is showing me. He says, guess what? Somebody opens up a store, and there's a store down the street, right? And that person is always down the street. They're not at their own store. Guess who the customer's going to come to? The customers are going to come to the store that's open. The customers are going to come to the store that's people are there working, ready to serve them. They're not going to go to that store right there. There's a store with a whole bunch of things in it, a whole bunch of food and groceries, and you can shop. But the door is always locked, right? Because nobody's working it, because the person who's supposed to be working it is too busy down the street worried about the store down the street being nosy, right? That's what it is. I'm just talking to my love listeners. Y'all know I am. That's what it is. You just being nosy. You want to know about everybody else's business, but you done forgot about yours. Okay? So you know, we talk about these franchises and we talk about these programs and all these different events that people want to be in. Well, you gonna have to work it. You know? I'm not saying don't be human, because you're going to talk. But by God, put some energy into your own things. Thrive. But let's talk about prayer, okay? So, you know, to answer your questions, stop worried about what people are saying. Stop worried about what people are doing. Pray for folks. God is looking at the heart. He's not even looking at the outside. He's looking at the heart. He's looking at the heart. That's what he's looking at. And God says, I've already paid the price, but I don't want you to do that again, whatever that is. I've already paid the price. So if people are still talking, because they're not God. And once again, I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to leave it alone for the night, because I get the same questions. Look at their harvest. Look at everything that's attached to them. I guarantee you, something is falling apart, period. And then, while you're looking at somebody else, you need to look at yours. Your harvest is probably not doing well as good as it can, because you're too busy worried about what people are saying. You're not even working your harvest. Once again, we have two stores. One of them has a whole bunch of items and is always closed because the owner is always down the street gossiping and worrying about what the other store is doing. And that store with the little is now thriving and booming, now has become a $1 million franchise. And everybody's going to that store. See what I'm saying? So you have to work your own harvest. It's not saying don't work as a team. I'm not saying that. I'm saying make sure that your things are in order. Make sure your house is in order. Make sure your horse right. Make sure that you're not sinning. Make sure that your children are great. Make sure that everything associated with you is good. Business, all that. Before you spend your time, waste your time, gossiping, lying, whatever it is. Right? And if you don't know, then just be quiet. If you wasn't there, just be quiet. You know? And worry about your harvest, because I guarantee you, there is something in your harvest that you need to be working on. There's something in our harvest that we need to be working on. Okay? All right. We're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer. When I was younger, and we still say this prayer, when I was younger, my mom, we all had to get around the bed, and we had to get on our knees, and we had to say this prayer. And it's actually the Lord's Prayer. And this is actually a great prayer to pray. The Lord's Prayer is excellent. And with this particular prayer, and I'm putting it in my system here, with this particular prayer, it's very important that we understand what we're praying about. Very important. Matthew 6:9-13. It says, this is the Lord's Prayer, and it goes, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, so we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. When we pray, and I want you to write down Matthew 6:9-13, I want to encourage every parent who is on this line, every youth who is on this line, to write down Matthew 6:9-13. This was a prayer that my mom expected us to pray every night when we were younger, to pray this prayer. And we will pray this prayer, and it's very important. And I look at this prayer, and I still pray this prayer to this day. But I want you to really look at this, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. God is our Father. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And he is in heaven, and he's on earth. He's with us. And that's his name. When we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about the blessings of God. Thy will be done. Whatever God's will be done over our lives, on earth as it is in heaven. God is on earth and in heaven, because the church is our body. And so whatever the Lord wants to be done, it's going to be done. And so when you pray this prayer, you're saying, Lord, whatever your will is, I surrender unto you. You're saying, Lord, I know that you're high. I know that you are God. I know that you are in heaven. And I know that your name is Emmanuel. God is with us. Jehovah Jireh, El Shaddai, Elohim. And I know that the kingdom, when you talk about the kingdom coming, you're talking about your glory. You're talking about your favor, grace, and mercy. And whatever your will is, Lord, I know it's going to be done. That's what that first stanza is about. When it says, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those who trespass against us. We're talking about forgiveness. Forgive us this day. Whatever was not of God, whatever was not like God, God, forgive us this day our daily bread. We're talking about the Lord's Supper. Forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive. Forgiveness is very important. If we don't know how to forgive, then we don't know how to accept our blessings. We're blocking our blessings when we hold grudges against people. There are people who haven't spoken to folks in 5 and 10 years. How can you live like that? There are people who are still holding grudges against people. Let it go and keep it moving. Amen? Because life is too short to be upset with individuals. It's very important. It's very important that we're able to let stuff go and just live. If you're not happy every day, you know, and there are things that's going to make you sad, things that are going to make you otherwise, but 90% of your stay each day should be peaceful and happy. If not, then you need to reevaluate what's going on, okay? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Deliver us from anything evil. No, lead us not into temptation, Lord. Help us to walk in your way and your will. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and amen. Forever and ever, amen. God has the power. God is powerful. And whatever we need, God can give it. And so every night, our mom would have us get around the bed. And we'd have to take turns saying the prayer. We memorize it. We memorize this prayer. We say it every night on our knees before we go to bed, and it works. And so if you're just starting prayer, if you're trying to get connected to God and you're trying to experience God, just say that prayer. That's Matthew 6:9-13, Matthew 6:9-13. And we're talking to the Father who is in heaven. He's the utmost. He's the highest. Hallelujah. He's the highest. Amen. He's the highest. I know that's the highest praise, but God is the highest praise. He's hallelujah. He's Emmanuel, El Shaddai, Elohim, Yahweh. God is everything. Amen. So if, you know, if you have children or if you are youth listening, write down Matthew 6:9-13 and pray that prayer every night. Every night. And I guarantee you, you'll see the move of God. Amen. Because God said that's how we're supposed to pray. Now, as we get older, we then become more sophisticated. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for blessing us to wake up this morning and start us on our way. We thank you for giving us a reasonable portion of our health and strength. We ask that you continue to lead us and guide us in the path of righteousness. We've gotten to that mode. But as far as starting out and as far as the children are concerned, that's a good place to start. Matthew 6:9-13. A lot of people say, when you say Jesus wept, Jesus know what you mean. That's correct. But if you can say more than Jesus wept, if you can say, our Father, with joy in heaven, then say it. God says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. God gives us his best praise. We want to give God our best prayers. Jesus wept is a good prayer. Excellent. But once you've grown in the faith, once you've matured, then we should be able to show some sign and begin to pray unto God and be sincere. You know, we talk about the babies, the 1 and 2 year olds, the 3 and 4 year olds, and maybe 5 year olds with the Jesus wept. But as we get older, our vocabulary expands, and it's really time to get serious, more serious, and have more mature conversations and prayers with God. Very important. Okay? Because God's going to give us his best no matter what. He's going to give us his best. And so that's how you pray. And when you pray, you can pray anywhere. People say they've taken prayer out of schools, and that's true. But you can pray to yourself. There's a lot of things happening in the schools. People say they've taken prayer out. Well, you need to pray to yourself. Right? Pray to yourself. And maybe you can help change some of the circumstances. If everybody would just pray to themselves quietly, including kids, sometime throughout the day, just pray to yourself. You don't have to close your eyes. You can just be sitting there praying. You don't have to make a big scene. I'm praying to God. We don't need to hear all that. Pray to God and watch things change. Watch how peaceful it'll be in the world. Watch how you won't hear about things happening. If everybody would just pray once a day, this whole world, this whole nation, just pray. Prayer hasn't been taken out of anything. It has been taken out formally as far as being vocal with it. But you can pray anywhere. You can thank God anywhere. All right? So we're not going to use that excuse that, oh, there's no prayer in the school, so therefore, no, that's not going to fly. Because you can still pray to yourself quietly. You can pray to yourself. Okay? Okay. So I just want to reiterate, as I said before, if you're upset, if you always just let things get to you and mad at the world, mad at situations, you're not living. You're not living. You're wasting your time. God wants us to, he says, I have plans for you. I have plans for you to prosper. God says, I decide your life. Speak over your life. You can't allow people to disencourage you, to pull you out of the ark of safety. You have to pray unto God to put you where he wants you to be. And then you have to be satisfied with that, thankful for that. But whatever betide, God will take care of you. You know, we just live from day to day. That's it. We live from day to day. People don't typically wake up and know exactly how their day is going to be. Only God knows that. And so my question is, why do you continue to allow people to upset you and to make you mad when they're speaking over your life? Unless you accept that, it's null and void. It's null and void. They don't even know about their own lives. We don't even know about our own lives. We just have faith, right? Well, mustard seed that, yeah. You know, I'm planning on it, you know. So don't allow anyone to speak over your life. Don't allow anyone to get you all worked up. Don't allow anyone to make you change your mind about what God has called you to do. You know, you're a pastor, right? You drop your mantle. Pick it up and keep moving. But in that, God, you have to speak to God and ask God to renew in your heart. If you have ought against somebody, let it go. Let it go. Because God says, I'm going to take care of that too. But see, people try to go in their own strength. Because you mad. I'm going in my own strength and I'm going to let them have it. And God is saying, all along, I have this, and God can do way more than we can. You worry about people. People are going to be people. People are going to talk. People are going to lie. People are going to want you to fail, some of them. That's life. That is life. Everybody that's in the stands when you play sports, all going for the same team. Think about it, the basketball tournaments. Everybody that's come to the games, they're scattered everywhere. They're cheering for different teams. Everybody's not going to cheer for you. Everybody's not going to be happy for you. Everybody's not going to want to see you succeed. People want to see you fail. Matter of fact, they waiting to see. They waiting. They looking. They watching. They looking at your disposition. They looking at your behavior, your attitude, because they want to see you. Some people want to see you fail. Some people, not a lot, maybe 10-15%. But there are some people who genuinely want to see you do well. And you'll know them. God will reveal them to you. Trust me, he will. And there are some people who want to see you not succeed. It's just the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. It's true. But you can't get mad at those people who don't want to see you succeed. You just work harder. And you do more. And you keep doing good. That's what you do. You don't waste your time worried about that. Because if you worried about everybody in the stand when you playing a game, I wonder if they for me. I wonder if they cheering for me. You're not going to know. You're not going to know who cheering for you and who not. But God's going to always show you the genuine and the fake. He says to turn the weak. God's going to always show you. He's going to always show you the genuine people, always. God doesn't hide genuineness. God does not hide that. And he does not hide pretentious people either, because you need to know that too. But there is, but when God reveals it, that doesn't give you the right to say, oh, okay, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. For what? You let God deal with that. Let God deal with that. And live life. There's no need in getting all puffed up and angry because of ignorance, puffed up and angry. There's no need in that. Because you know, and I'm telling you, that everybody's not for you. And I get these inboxes, and every question is centered around people. What about God? What about making God happy? What about worried about if God is pleased? What about that? What about worried about that? And some people just live to see you. See you just do bad. They want to see you fail. They'll be waiting. Look at your disposition. Oh, look at them. They sad. That person might just be tired. They're not sad. Oh, they quiet. It must have, no, they might be praying. They might be busy in their harvest like you should be. You know? And so you get people like that. That's just the word. That's just how people are. That's just how people are. You keep living. Some of you are way older than me. You should know this. I'm just speaking to the love listeners. Y'all know how I am. That everybody don't want to see you do well. Not everybody. And, you know, I encourage you, don't be happy for people when they do well. Don't be jealous of people. Don't be hating on people. Love listeners, we don't do that, hating on people and wanting to see people fail and gossiping and lying and acting like we so holier than thou and acting like we so righteous. And we don't do that. You know, we tend our office, we pray for people. We try to set people up for success, and that's it, you know. And so it's very important that you learn how to discern people, you know, you have to. And we're not feeding anybody with a longhouse spoon. I'm feeding you with a longhouse. No, we're not going to feed you with a longhouse spoon. I'm going to give you a spoon just like I give everybody else. Right? But I'm going to pray for you because I know your heart. I know you're not for me. I know that you're against me. I know that you're going to see me fail. But I'm not going to feed you with a longhouse spoon. I still got to love you and treat you right. Right? Because God says that your blessing will be cut off. If you're mad at somebody else, God said, that's my creation. He said, that's just information. You don't, I'm going to feed you with a longhouse spoon. Feed nobody with no longhouse spoon. I'm going to give you a spoon just like I get everybody else. That means I'm going to treat you right, and I expect for you to treat me right. I'm going to treat you fair, but I expect you to treat me fair. I'm going to do you right. I expect you to do me right. I'm going to talk to you right. I expect for you to talk to me right. I'm going to respect you. I expect for you to respect me. I'm not feeding nobody with no longhand spoon. God didn't say feed somebody with a longhand spoon. If I got to give you a longhand spoon, I'm not going to give you a spoon at all. I'm going to give you a spoon just like I gave everybody else. And that's how God wants us to function. That's how God wants to work. So we're not, you know, whatever it is that you're worried about, whatever it is that you're upset about, let it go. I mean, you're missing out on God's goodness and his favor. You know, missing out on it. And an item of mine is Devil's Workshop. Get busy. I'm keeping my mind busy. I'm in all types of programs. I'm for real. I'm in all types of programs because I want to keep busy. I want to continue to be sharp. God has called me into certain things, to do certain things. I want to get those done. I want to do positive things. And so I'm always busy. I'm always, I have my schedule. You know, I'm allotting my time, and I'm everything that I'm supposed to be doing, I'm allotting time. I'm making time for it, and I'm especially making time for God. There's no making time for God. I have time for God. You know, start my biblical courses tomorrow. I did some reading today with my literacy, and I'm working on my programs, and I'm working on some things with education, and, you know, so I'm keeping busy. I don't have time to be gossiping. That don't leave me any time to gossip. That don't leave me any time to be nosy and in somebody else's business. That don't give me time to worry about or be looking at somebody to see if they failed. I don't have time for it because I'm too busy. And even if I wasn't busy, that's just not me. I'm happy for people when they succeed. I'm happy for people when they do well. I don't act like I'm the jury or the judge or the whoever for anybody, because we all have sinned and fallen short. And so, you know, just find some things to do. Spend time with your family. Spend time with your friends, your kids, you know. You know, just do something productive. When you do things productive, you feel so much better. But when you sit there and gossip and work for Satan and hoping people fail, and I mean, you just get miserable, you know. I don't know the feeling because usually I'm the person that I'm happy for you. I'm serious. I'm happy for you. You're doing well. You know, God has given you a breakthrough. God has made a way for you. I'm happy for you. Good job. Proud of you. Because I don't have any reason to wish that you fail, and I don't have any reason to be in your business. I don't have any reason to talk about you. I don't have any reason. I don't have time for it. You know what I'm saying? I don't have time for it in my schedule. I have too much to think about. Too much. You know. So, take on that disposition of just tending to your harvest, praying for people. Rid the gossip, the hatred, the hating, hoping people fail, talking every day. I mean, it'll get old, and your harvest will continue to fall behind. It'll get old. But, you know, the only person you can control is yourself, right? And so if you feel like that, if you feel like somebody's nosy in your business, whatever, keep working your harvest. Because by you, and I said this before, by you going fussing and upset and getting off course and out of character, it's not going to help your harvest. Your harvest is going to look just like theirs. Absolutely nothing. So you need to keep going and doing what the Lord say do. Okay? All right, we're going to listen to Sinach. Waymaker. You're listening to AfritaLove.com. Amen, amen, amen. Well, I know that you enjoyed our time together on this morning. I have a few announcements, and I'm going to bid you a great morning. Amen, amen. Please continue to encourage your family and your friends to listen to the FridaLove.com show. That's through blogtalkradio.com/FridaLove. blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. Be sure to have your family and friends listen and share this particular site. I want to thank each and every one of you. I had so many individuals, about 300. Hey, man, be sure to pass this link on to other people. Let other people listen. It's free to listen. And if you want to chime in to some of the discussions, please feel free to do so, as I will have the number for you on the next ministry, which is tomorrow, God's will. In addition to that, gospel artists, writers, promoters, actors, actresses, anyone with a positive message, please, please, please email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. emonya_love@yahoo.com. I'm going to be scheduling interviews for different individuals on the ministry as we get back on schedule. All right. In addition to that, make sure that you continue to pray for all of your family members. When you do, put them all in one line and pray for them one by one. Do not forget to pray for yourself and pray for those you know and those you do not know, because the prayer of the righteous avails much. Yes, yes, yes. In addition to that, make sure that you mark your calendars for March the 29th, as there will be some speaking going on in Dallas, Texas, and I will give you more information with that. Be sure to mark your calendars for April 21st, as there will be a conference. And then I have some schedules. I'm scheduled to speak in Atlanta and some other areas. So be sure to look out for that schedule. I've had that schedule since December, but we've updated it with more speaking gigs for the conference I Am Somebody. All right. Also, if you want to be a part of the I Am Somebody conference, just email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. If you're in the Waco area, that will be the first conference. If you're in the Waco area, Central Texas area, emonya_love@yahoo.com. I will have free tickets available online by Saturday, God's will. In addition to that, make sure that you just continue to spread the word about this ministry and all the great things that are happening. I will be in many different cities and states speaking during some weekends and things of that nature, so be sure to mention that as well. We're working on some curriculum things for multicultural education, and if you have some projects or you want to speak about some things, then please let me know, emonya_love@yahoo.com. I want to appreciate each and every one of you for listening. May the Lord bless you real good. And be sure to come back on Tomorrow God's Will and be sure to tell somebody about this ministry. I'm really excited that many of you are sharing this ministry with your family and your friends. And let's see if we can continue to grow and continue to spread the word of God. Amen. Amen. And once again, I want to thank each and every one of you for staying up with me. Be sure to share this link with somebody. Tell somebody about it. And be blessed. If someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up because God is love. Till next time, which is tomorrow, take care of yourselves and each other. Good night, everybody.